Okay, today is Wednesday, November 18th, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. This is the women's Chumash share. We are up to Dvarim Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Gimel, the beginning of Parshat Ha'azinu.
Okay, Rabotai. We started Parshat Ha'azinu last week, and we focused on Pasuk Aleph and Bet. And we're going to see today just a couple of additional observations to Aleph and Bet, and then proceed to another Pasuk, which is a transitionary Pasuk, as an introduction to Gimel, to Dalet rather, or perhaps the conclusion of Aleph and Bet. Depends how you read it. So we have read the first two Psukim, Ha'azinu HaShemayim, where Moshe summons heaven and earth to serve as his witnesses. And then Pasuk Bet are a variety of images identifying Torah. Torah as Ya'arov Kamata Likhi, Tizal Katalim Rasi, various images in Tanakh describing rain, dew, and the way it's interpreted symbolically is the reference is to Torah. So once he has the prosecutor with the rules and regulations, and he has the witnesses in place, then he can proceed his attack against Am Yisrael. So just a couple of interesting observations on the word Ya'arov Kamatal Likhi Tizal Katal Imrati. So I bracketed for you in the sheet that I distributed. Firstly, the Maharam. The Maharam. That's Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg. The Maharam of Rothenburg. Person who spent the last 18 years of his life in jail because he was taken captive. And he ordered the Jewish community not to pay one red cent to redeem him. So he died in jail. He had a little window in his jail cell through which thousands of people came and gave him she'ilot, and he wrote them up, the tshuvot. We have more written responsa from the Maharam Rutenberg than anybody else. 7,000 tshuvot. Because he had nothing else to do all day. Exactly. He couldn't give shiurim, didn't have to run to a levaya, didn't have to run to a wedding or a bris. He was stuck in jail. So he had all the time in the world to sit and write. So sit and write. And that's what he did.
What?
I'll remember that. So, his actual words start on the page before, but as usual I like to save a tree, not waste another piece of paper, but he has this idea which he writes as follows. There are words in the Torah which generate a certain impression about Torah, and that phenomenon, or the mashal, which is used to describe Torah, can have a positive impact, and at times can be very negative. And Torah, he is going to describe as being one of those ideas which on the one hand can be incredibly beneficial, on the other hand, Torah has the capacity to be poisonous for you. So he will go ahead and elaborate. So look at the, or it says, the Chenis of Asachas Yuma, Perikol Levi, right? Follow, Amrav Yeshua ben Levi, Mai Dichsiv, what is the intention of the phrase? Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. Everybody knows this pasuk. Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. When you pick up the Torah, when you do Hakol, we recite that pasuk. Lefnei B'nei Yisrael, right? So the Gemara in Masechet Yuma plays on the word Sam and reads it not with a sin, but with a samach. Sam is poison. So what does it mean? Let's read it. Zacha, should you be privileged, na'aseh lo sam chayim. It is, proves to be a what? A spice, which what? Which will ultimately give you life. Lo zacha, na'aseh lo sam hamavet. If one is not privileged, is not worthy, then this very same Torah becomes a Sam Hamavet. Sam Hamavet. And what he's communicating here is the following idea, and he will bring 12 different illustrations for this very same idea, and then we'll see how he gets it, why he links it to this particular pasuk. On the one hand, if a person is receptive to the message of Torah, it will obviously be a source of life and a source of blessing. That's what zakah means. However, if it's lo zakah, meaning you're not particularly interested in its message, this very document will be very damning unto you, because it's going to hold you accountable when you get to the world to come. When you get to the world to come, this document will be produced and say, hey buddy, how come at this particular day, this particular time, you transgressed A, B, C, and D? So ultimately, this very document has the potential to be the ultimate source of gratification, and potentially as well, if somebody chooses to ignore it, this document will be the worst possible document ever written for you, because it will hold you incredibly accountable for things which you have neglected from the moment you were born until the person reaches the Olam HaEmet. So he uses this imagery. So he gives you one source where it's where this particular idea has this dual effect. So the Zot HaMashiach, Sam Moshe, which Moshe placed before them, and he cutely interprets or reads the word as if it said the word Sam. The reason why the idea is, we mentioned this last week, and I just put here, Matar is the description for the Torah as well. So Matar, Be'ito, in its proper time, in proper quantity, is the greatest blessing. Matar, not in its proper time, and in inordinate quantities, is a terrible curse. So the Torah, being compared to what? Matar, says the Maharam, has this same dual capacity. At times it can be perceived for you, for us, as the greatest benefit, and at times it has the capacity to be interpreted as what? As the most a terrible document that one could possibly have, because it doesn't allow you to get away with anything. Nada. Nothing that you will want to do can you claim, this was an option for me. There's nothing that's optional in our lifetime. And all he does is give you, if you go to the middle for a second, I'll give you another illustration. In the middle, right in the middle, you see there is a parenthesis where it says Sam Chaim in the middle, a parenthesis. You see that? The line before that. Kidita beperakamik kedushin. Here is another source. Tanu Rabbanan. Visamtem et divarai eila alavavchem. You should remember that pasuk. We said it this morning. Second portion of the Shema. Visamtem et divarai eila. You shall place these words on your heart. And of course, that's what the word means, because it's written vav. Sin, mem, taf, mem. Visamtem, lasu means to place. There's no doubt about it. But if you cutely substitute the samach for the sin, then it's what? Visamtem dvarai eile. These words are what for you? Nothing but poison. So this is something which Maharam, this is not the pshat. Eve, this is not the pshat. So, but this is Maharam's style. His style is one of his styles, one of his approaches. He has several styles in his commentary in the Chumash. To find usage of words in Tanakh, how many times this word has been found in Tanakh, and he'll get to that in another second. And also play on words. That's the way he likes to contribute his, you know, the Ramban would never say something like this. Because he knows it's a cute little thing. That's not his perush. Even Rashi doesn't, engage in this type of activity. So there are examples which he furnishes, to use in that capacity. How does your English translate? I asked you this last week. Translate the word ya'arof. Drip down, right? Drop. Good. Yet, we came across the word at the end of Parshat Shoftim of Ve'arfu. What does Ve'arfu mean?
To
behead, to pale. That's correct. What do you do with a person in a situation where somebody was murdered and the murderer was not apprehended? What do we call that process? Egla Arufa, Ayin Reish Vav Peheh. Where you take a calf and you behead it and you make this announcement, you know, we are not guilty of this, of spilling this innocent blood. It's a strange, bizarre ceremony to highlight and communicate to the public that the murderer has not been apprehended. Let's go be aggressive in trying to find him. So what he's saying is, correct, but the way you do it, Arifa, is to chop off in the back of the head. So what is Ya'arof Kamatar? Torah, if you don't listen to it, what capacity does it have? Chop off your neck. It'll only kill you. If you are receptive to it, Ya'arof is to drip. To drop drops of water. That's beautiful. That's when rain is effective. But if Torah, which is the imagery of Matar, is not appreciated, not accepted, then that Torah is Ya'arof. We'll cut you off. We'll cut you off. So again, he's playing on the words, the way it's found in Tanakh. And this is something that, again, is very much in characteristic, in style for the Maran. He carries the same idea in the next word in the Torah. Ya'arof kamatar likhi. Good, but he comes up with a better pasuk. The word likhi is found only twice in Tanakh. That's what he tells us. That's without a Bar Ilan. Twice in Tanakh, the word likhi appears. The second time that it appears is a pasuk in Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin. Not that I know it, but it's printed right here in the text for me. So it says, the pasuk says there, likhi na li pat lechem. Likhi na pat lechem. Take for me what? A loaf of bread. So lekach, and the Yiddish expression is ashtikel lekach. What is that? It means a piece of bread. It means lekach is not honey. It's usually honey cake. It's honey cake. But lekach is a bread. Lekach is a piece of cake, a piece of bread. So if you have likhi referring to Torah, and likhi referring to bread, so what idea of Pirkei Avot that reminds him? Im ein kemach, ein Torah. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. That in order for Torah to survive, you require the capacity to have financial resources. So the rain, if you want matar to enable to flourish as matar, what must HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure that the matar also does? What must HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure that the matar does in order to enable us to have... It must produce the grain, exactly. It must enable the earth to produce the grain so that we will now have time to what? To spend on the other matar, which is Torah. Here, Maharam buys into an opinion, which we don't accept. There is a debate in Masechet Berachot, 35b. A small segment of the population today believes in it. Most of the population, and I'm talking about the Orthodox committed population, does not believe in it. And I mean whether you should be learning all your life and not bothering to work to make a living. Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is, it says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochi's opinion is that you have to go ahead and spend all your time learning. Why? Because Rabbi Yishmael, his friend, says the Torah writes in the same parsha of Asamtem et Varayila, V'asafta deganecha, V'tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. Go out and harvest your land. Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. Derech eretz does not mean go. Does not mean me go. Good character. Derech Eretz means the way the rest of the world conducts themselves. That's what Erech Eretz means, the way of the land. How does an average citizen of society earn a livelihood? They don't sit and play bocce ball all day. They go out and work. So Rabbi Yishmael says, that's the way we are supposed to do it. Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. You conduct yourself the way the world does it. A farmer in the world, that's what he does. He gathers his grain. Well, to gather it, you have to harvest. You have to plow. You got to plant. You got to do lots of things. You have to put in an effort. The goal, the objective doesn't mean that you have to earn $1 million. You have to earn enough to satisfy, and the rest of the time that you learn. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochi, if a guy's going to be working on the field, if a guy's going to be a lawyer and a businessman, Torah matahe aleha, what's going to happen to Torah? So Rav Shimon Bar Yochi says, no, everybody should what? Should sit and learn. How are you going to make a living? Melachtecha na'aseit al yidei acherim. Somebody will do the work for you. Okay? Somebody will do the work for you. Maharam is alluding to it. He wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide adequate rainfall. The crops will grow. I don't know who's going to harvest it. That's going to be somebody else. And what will you now do? You will now have the capacity to engage in the time of Torah, of Makar in its symbolic stage. We reject Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Rambam writes, that's not the way the Gemara itself rejected it. It said, Harbe asu ki Rav Shimon Bar Yochai velo alu biyadan. Many attempted to conduct their lives like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and didn't succeed. And Rishonim say they didn't succeed in both areas. Not only did they struggle to make a living, they didn't turn out to be great Talmidei Chachamim either. They didn't. They didn't turn out to be Talmidei Chachamim. The harbe asu k'Rabbi Yishmael v'hetzlichu. And many went ahead and followed Rabbi Yishmael and succeeded. But Maharam, his hope, his vision, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for what? The physical sustenance, miraculously, and we should spend our time with Torah. And therefore his imagery is portrayed by Lekach, Likhi referring to Torah, and Likhi referring to Lechem, Imein Kemach in Torah, that's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of the Kemach. Take care of the Kemach. What?
I know,
right? I have often cited to you my opinion. My opinion is we need people to sit and learn. It should be the Yechidei Segula. Number one, they should be held accountable. That's number one. Accountable, you should have to take the chinot. You should have to demonstrate that you're giving a contribution back to Klal Yisrael. That I would vote for a handful of people. Handful of people. The rest of the people should go out and work. That's all. Yeah. That's point number one.
So let me add
a... Go right ahead.
When the people are coming for tzedakah and they have a shtar and they're collecting money for a kollel, and that's not necessarily what I would want to support.
I can tell you...
I mean, not
those,
that I don't want to support learning. I'm
sure. I know. Those things are not high on my priority list. You can make your own decision. Those type of institutions are not high on my priority list. I grant you that.
Huh?
First of all, especially now in today's times, when the lion's share of our stock allocations should be allocated locally. That's all. Not to support kollels in Israel.
So why are they getting the...
Because the Teudah doesn't take a position. The Teudah only says that the committee, Menachem Stambler and what's his name? David Schild, have at least investigated that the institution is a legitimate one, and in the case of an individual, the need is legitimate. They speak to a rabbi in Israel who knows the person. That's all. Yeah? Good. That's point number one. Point number two. Chizkuni. I bracketed on the bottom of the page. I just want to read you, because I saved a whole tree by not going to sit. Listen to this. Listen to this. Chazkuni's words. Dvarim, you don't have it on the page. Dvarim sha'ani omer lachem, that which I'm about to tell you, einam dvarim, now comes the word, einam dvarim b'teilim. What is dvarim b'teilim?
Nonsense.
Nonsense. Can you imagine? Chizkuni introduces his remark on this pasuk by telling you, what I'm about to tell you is not dvarim b'teilim. It's not nonsense. Like I would have thought that it's nonsense. Now let's see, what is he so concerned that I would have come to the conclusion that it might have been nonsense, and he has to take the trouble to alert me to the fact that it's not nonsense. Obviously, if a Rishon says it, there's something worried that we would have come to that conclusion. Because he doesn't say that every time he makes a remark. I've rarely seen this. And he writes, again, I read it again. Dvarim shani omer lachem, einam dvarim b'teilim. Ella. Now we read it inside. Kishem shahamatar yored, v'ein hana'ato v'tivo nikarin. Just as when it rains, the benefit is not perceptible immediately. Ein nikarin v'nirin v'sof shemigadel peirot. Till you receive the harvest can take weeks and months and months. Kach afkach likhi v'imrasi. So too, says Chizkuni, you have to have savlanut. Lots of savlanut. That when a person studies Torah, you don't always see the benefit immediately. This has several possible interpretations. One, there are, and we know this factually, right? In today, in our day and age, I speak about it often. You have young men and young women who are exposed to Torah and currently have no interest whatsoever in committing their life to a life of Torah. None whatsoever. Does that mean that our educational system should abandon them because they're not seem to be buying into it? The answer is no. Because you never know when something positive with them in a positive fashion will ultimately sprout. If somebody asks me, what's my number one objective in Jewish education? My number one objective is that a Talmud should not walk out being hating learning, hating religion. That's my number one objective. I grew up in a high school where kids walked out and they hated every minute of it. It was such a bad experience that they will never, ever, and they never had an opportunity to allow it to emerge. It was so bitter and so no respect given to them whatsoever that they are as far away from Yahadut as possible today. Far away from possible. The objective has to be, obviously with somebody who's bought into the system, that's a given. You don't need a great educational philosophy to motivate or to train or to educate students who are buying into the program. But how do you work with somebody who is not yet ready to buy in? You hope that at least they have a measure of respect and there is no animosity. There are no religious cynics. Cynicism is the worst possible thing to develop. And that's what he's alerting us to. The benefits are not always immediate. That's number one. Number two, people who do learn sometimes get a little frustrated. They get a little frustrated. Because becoming a scholar, a Talmid Chacham, doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. The skills that are necessary to engage in self-learning and to be able to understand conceptually what's happening doesn't happen very quickly. It doesn't. And that's why people who learn, even though they commit the time, they ask, I'm not making any progress, you know? How come I can't learn this Gemara myself? You know, how come I can't follow that shir? I'm coming to a shir for 10 years, and I still don't understand what he's talking about. Says Chizkuni, even the learning process for somebody who's committed, you don't always see the results immediately. It could be way down the road. And it asks us, even those who are already committed, to engage in some type of recognition, savlanut, abisal gedult. It hopefully will come. There's no guarantee that it will come. But hopefully it will come. But even more importantly is the first point that I said. Secondly, says Chizkuni, davar acher, lashon tefilahu, ya'arov kamatar l'kri, says Chizkuni, is a prayer offered by man unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehi ratzon, shelo yashuvu divarai reikam, ela ya'asu peirot bilibot hashom'im, kimasei hamatar v'hatal v'aretz lahulida ulahatzmicha. Moshe Rabbeinu is offering a tefillah unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What tefillah is he offering? That I should be successful. He's about to leave them. He knows there is no tomorrow to appeal to them. So he is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ya'arov kamatar likhi, let my words of Torah that I'm about to share with them now, my last farewell testament. This is the last day. Remember, I told you all of Sefer Dvarim started 37 days before he died. The entire Sefer Dvarim was written, spoken by Moshe, beginning on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And he died 37 days later in Adar. That's all right. That's how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died. We assume he died then, right? It doesn't say any place in the Torah that he died in the seventh of Adar. That's the assumption that we make. And as a result, if we make that assumption, the date when he started Sefer Dvarim is that. It says, first day of the month of the 11th month, which is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Today is the last day. So Moshe Rabbeinu knows there are no more opportunities. That's it. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please enable me to succeed, just as the rain will eventually what? Give forth its peirot. I hope that my lessons today, my speech today, will ultimately give forth its peirot. In the Gemara tells us that certain Tanaim, when they walked into the Beit Midrash, and before they began to shear, they started with a little tefillah. And one of them said, you know, that I should have success with my Talmidim, you know, because there ain't no guarantees. Even the time of the Mishnah, he understood that. So he interprets Ya'arov Kamatar Likhi in relationship to that. That's number one tefillah. Secondly, he believes that Moshe is asking, as he already will speak here in a couple of psukim later. God, we'll get to it in a couple of weeks, because Hazinu is slow. It's more pasuk by pasuk. He will ask God, after they have already been dispersed in a variety of countries, because he will mention that as well. As I told you, this is Nivu'ah for the future. It's going to talk about Kibbutz Galuyot. Says Chizkuni that this tefillah that Moshe is identifying here is already his own petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even if he finds it necessary to exile his people, as I know he will, hopefully the galut will not be a long one, but rather sprout its peirot quickly and have the people return to Israel as quickly as possible. That's the second possibility which he claims is taking place here. Good. Mama Gainvite. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elohim. There are two ways to look at this pasuk. One is the most popular way, that this concludes the opening unit. The opening unit, as we said, we've laid out the groundwork. The witnesses, Shemayim and Arutz. Torah, the essence, the document upon which all measurement will take place. Well, if you're talking about Torah, Torah is Shem Hashem. The Word of God for us is represented by His Torah. So when I pronounce, when I mention God's name, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I will mention God's name, when I will communicate God's desire and convey it how? Through His Torah, what is our obligation? Havu Godel Leloheinu. Give praise unto our God. When you come in contact with the Infinite One, and the way we come in contact with Him, we are not Nevi'im. Moshe knows that they are not Nevi'im. So how does an ordinary Basar Vadam come in contact with the Infinite? By studying His Torah. So when you study the words of Torah, it's as if you're having a confrontation with Him, a meeting, an embrace with Him. Therefore, what must you do if you're in the presence of His company? You must always offer tribute and praise. Havu Goda Leloheinu. From here, says the Ramban, Mr. Rambam, you omitted one of the 613 commandments in the Torah according to your list. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot, where he listed what he thought with the 613. There is no list in the Torah. What are the 613? There is no number 613 in the Torah. It's done, communicated to us by a tradition that there are 613 mitzvot based on the fact that the word Torah Tzivalanu, equals 611. So 611 mitzvot Tzivalanu Moshe. And the first two, Anoichi and Hashem and Eloyircha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself said to us at Har Sinai. That's how we come up with the tradition that there are 613. But there are various lists, and the Ramban wrote a commentary on the Rambam's list, which the Rambam produced. And one of those which the Rambam omitted, according to the Ramban, was the mitzvah of Birchot HaTorah. Birchot HaTorah. Rambam writes that only one beracha is de'oraita according to biblical law. That's Birchat HaMazon, where it says, V'achalta v'savata uveirachta. So it's black on white. Uveirachta, black on white. However, all other berachot, says the Rambam, are only midirabbanan. According to Torah law, you don't make a bracha when you eat an apple, you don't make a bracha when you make a mitzvah, nothing. Ramban says that this pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Eloheinu, is a de'oraita. It's the authorization, it's the basis of the bracha of Birchot HaTorah. Because what are we saying? The reference to pasuk Gimel is the subject which we just left in pasuk Bet. Pasuk Bet is the imagery for Torah. So Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I will call, when I will mention, declare, state the name of God, namely the Torah, what is our obligation? To recite a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you for this opportunity to study your Torah. So it's not general praise, claims the Ramban. It is Birchot HaTorah, specifically thanking God for V'natan Lanu Et Torato. That's what it is. That's what this particular bracha is, a mitzvah midoraita. According to the Ramban, it's one of the 613 commandments. And the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam says it's only midurabanan, and only the achalta v'savata, and the Rambam interprets havu godel in a much broader sense. Doesn't mean necessarily to make a bracha. It means, just to say praise. Praise. The Gemara tells us that in the Beit HaMikdash, when a bracha was recited, you do not answer amen. You have a much greater, lengthier response. You say Baruch Shem Tivod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed after every single bracha. Because in the Beit HaMikdash, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, their Shem Hashem is much more keenly felt, much more pronounced. And the closer you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater the response has to be. The greater the response has to be. I ask you to think about Yom Kippur. Ve'hakol hanim, right? Ve'ha'am. What did the Kohen Gadol say? He recited a pasuk. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem, right? L'taher etchem mikol chatoseichem, l'tnei Hashem. Titar. When he said the name of Hashem, what did people do? So it says, the way it's read in the Braita, you think that everybody, that's not true. Only those who were near the Azara had to be Koirim Umishtachavim Umodim. Only those. Because the closer you are, a response is not enough. When you're closer to the Shekhinah, you have to do something more to demonstrate. You're a little further away, then it suffices to say, Baruch Shein Kibod Malchut HaLolam Vaed. The Rav always said, even though I'm not saying it's, in Rinat, half the shul, three quarters of the shul, fourth choir, men and women. The Rav said that in many shuls it was the practice for women never to fall choir. My mother never fell choir my whole life. Never. In her shtiebel, not woman ever did. And he said, technically speaking, where women stood in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Ezrat Nashim, it's not that it couldn't. That location did not demand Ishtachavaya. If a man was there, he didn't have to bow down there either. That location only required Amira, the Omrim, Baruch Shei, Kivod Machusol, Yolam Vaed, depending where you are. But in the Mikdash or its environs, Amen is insufficient. You have to have a greater response, and that response is Kishem Hashem Ekra. And under those circumstances, this Pasuk is the conclusion of the opening unit. I made reference to Torah. I am telling you, when you encounter God's Torah, what do? You bless, you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either through general praise or specific, according to the Ramban, reciting Birchot HaTorah. Birchot HaTorah. However, it is possible that this particular pasuk is the introduction to the next couple of psukim. It is possible. And the next couple of psukim will describe what we call Tziduk HaDin. Tziduk HaDin. Many of us, unfortunately, have had to say Tziduk HaDin. When you come to a cemetery, you bury somebody, we say Tziduk HaDin. What is the essence of Tziduk HaDin? What is it? That we acknowledge the fact that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu hurt us, he took away a member of our family, but I don't express my anger at him. I acknowledge that his decision was the right one. That's what Tziduk is in it. Tzadik ata Adonai, exactly. Right? Hashem meimit u'mechayeh, and so on and so forth. Hashem natan, v'Hashem lakach. Yihi shem Hashem mevorach. So, and the words of Tziduk HaDin will come from Pasuk Dalet. Hatzur tamim pa'alah. Pa'alah. God is righteous. Kichol derachav mishpat. Whatever it is, we're going to elaborate on this, on what the themes of Tziduk HaDin are. We will. But as an introduction to that pasuk, this phrase is telling me that when you are going to be called upon to acknowledge that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do to you, and he's going to be harsh, punishing, what is our obligation at that time? Instead of being angry and criticizing, what do we have to do? Havu Godel Elohim. You're supposed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Praise him. When somebody rips kriya, what bracha do you make? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Dayan HaEmet. Right? You're not the happiest person in the world, but you acknowledge that what he did was based on truth and that which is deserving. Dayan ha'emet. That's the bracha you recite when you rip kriya. When you rip kriya. One of the Gedolei HaMusar once said, the Gemara's expression for this is, Kishem shimivarech al hatov, kach mivarech al hara'a. He said, I never understood that Gemara. He says, Kishem shimivarech al hatov, I know what tov is, but I don't know what Kishem shimivarech al hara'a is. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is good for me. So, if it's good, it's included in the phrase, Kishem Shemavarchan Al HaTov. That requires an enormous level already to be able to recognize that Ra'ah is indeed in our best interest and it's included in Tov. Not everybody can come to Azam Madrega. But according to this, Pasuk Gimel has nothing to do with, what? With Pasuk Bet in Torah, it's the introduction telling us, I'm going to tell you that there are times when you're going to be calling upon God in the most unpleasant situation, when you want to be angry, critical, scream at Him, deny Him, and what is our charge? No. Havu Godev Leloheinu. Give praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this particular time. Okay. Rabotai, unfortunately I have to stop here now. So we'll continue next about. Next Wednesday is Erev Thanksgiving. We're having a regular share next week. Hopefully everybody will be here. And we'll continue with this transition and to get into the